Good morning. My name is Pam Bennett. I'm with the Ohio State University Extension. I'm the moderator for this morning. We are going to keep everything on time. We have brief 15-minute sessions, and if you're a speaker, I will give you a 5-minute warning, and then at 1 minute, I will stand up, and then at the time that's allotted, you will be removed from the stage. So we'll just keep going right through each one of these, and our first speaker is Mari Maritani, and please welcome Mari.
Good morning. When I saw that, I mean, to prepare this, and I thought, well, this is kind of won't fit in any sessions, but I just put in the master gardener or just to deal with the community garden type of things, but it's a little bit different. And my topic is selection of horticulture crops for a small-scale integrated farm system in a tropical environment in Guam. Okay. A little bit of the history. It started in 2001. With a joint with the University of Virgin Islands, and we had the grant for the $750,000, but Guam get $270,000 to make the small garden, integrated garden for the Pacific or the Caribbean islanders to manage. So that was a goal. And then the goal is to establish integrated demonstration farm of the small agriculture enterprises for the tropics. And to provide the students and participants a training opportunity in a small agriculture enterprise operation, and to document benefit and constraints and integration of the farm operation, and to operate the farm profitably. That was a very, very headache to me, and it was a very big challenge. And to encourage adoption of integrated farming technology and suited for individual needs. So anyone come in and they like some good technology, they can just adopt it. That was a goal for that. So there was a condition was given to the project, and it has to be less than 5 acres, has to be small. And there was a three components, the three commodities or operations involved. One is aquaponics, which has the tilapia, the fish, and horticulture crop to grow it together with symbiotically. And the B is a horticulture crop that's in the field, regular, traditional growing setting. And then also, because of the sustainable agriculture, it has to have animal components. So there was a three of those are as a given condition. And then there was a set of goal of the profit. It was 100,000 gross incomes per year. That was a goal we set. And educate and conduct outreach programs to students, farmers, and the community. And this was the map of the farm. Actually, was I thought of the usually the farm is a rectangle, nice shape, but it's not. Didn't happen to be. And there is a topography is different, but we deal with that. And so there is a three parts that we divided. And there was existing windbreaks, and there was a water existing water sources were there. But what crop is suitable for this model farm? That was a really very big questions we had. The five factors we thought about is adapted to the farm site, and the marketability because you have to make profit, and the cultivation method has to be suited for the farm, and some post-harvest handling, ease of that, and processing if possible. So those are things that we thought about. And just a little bit of the Guam. It's in the south, in the Pacific, Western Pacific, and we are no 13 north latitude. Actually, typhoon is coming, and I'm really worried about it right now. But it's a small island, and there's a marine, a tropical marine climate, and this is a temperature and humidity. And we have three seasons, not four, but three. One is a rainy season, dry season, and a traditional period. So the plants do get influenced by those seasons. And the soil we have 55 different kind of soils. And the Jigo, that's where our farm is located, has a very shallow, it looks like it's all limestone. It's very shallow, and the pH is very high. That was a characteristic of the farm site. And a little bit of society and economics. We have a population of 170,000, And then the major employment is military, or the U.S. military bases, and the tourism. And the more than 90% of the food items are imported. So that's your situation. Now, for the fruits, we thought about different tropical fruits, but a lot of them are eliminated because of they need large area, which is not fit for our small farm. So these are kind of attractive fruits, but we couldn't choose it. And this is another one, small fruits, acerola and mulberry. Those are kind of potentially good for the island, but for this farm, we could not use it. So that we chose the calamansi, which is not originated from Guam or any place but the Philippines. But this was really, it's a shrub, and it's really used by local cuisines. So we thought it was a good crop. And then we made it the intercropping system with the, you see the picture of this is the calamansi, and in the middle portion is we have a hot pepper, the vegetable crop that's growing. And also we use it, the chicken tractor to make it weed control of that. And this is yield and rainfall. The calamansi does affect by the, flowering is due caused by the water stress. So dry season we get the more fruits, but year round we have some fruits. So anyone comes and do something, activities, we always have some fruits to show. So that was actually good point of the this crop. Okay, for other ornamentals, we thought about maybe lay for the tourists to come. That was thought, but we end up with a tea leaf, which is this in Hawaii. They use for the cooking, for the wrapping, and also in Guam they use make a lays. They wrap it and make lays, and also they use for the flower arrangement. So that is one of the things that it, we have to sell it. So this was chosen. And this is a horticulture crop production area that we showed earlier, the middle portion, with the calamansi is the main crop, or the fruit crop, and in between or other area, we still have some open area. And that's a vegetable crop that we thought about what to do. And then hot pepper, capsicum was the actually number one commercial crop for Guam to because they're so popular. They like the spicy food, so we thought about that. And then all of them can grow in year round, but the low production in the rainy season. Okay, so this is some vegetable crop growing in the farm. And the other part is aquaponics is a challenge for us because no one has done anything. But this is a diagram of aquaponics, which is, has a 4 fish tank and 2 set of the raceways. And actually, these are two independent systems. And the system goes just the water is circulating, conserving. And from the fish tank, with the fish waste going to be the nutrient for the plants, and the plants act as a biofilter, and then go back to the fish tank. So it's really conserved water, and Guam has actually good water to start with because we have a rich in the calcium and magnesium, and it's, some place in aquaponics they have to add that, but we don't have to. The only things we have to add is give them is a fish feed and iron chelate. And for, again, it's a selection of the crop. I showed that the lettuce is one of them. And we didn't have any production with lettuce in Guam. So this is another thing that we thought, and it is a good challenge. And then tangkong is aquatic plants to start with, but needed a lot of iron. So in our system, it didn't fit. So we have a lot of variety trial, and this is showing that the aquaponics raceway. This is how you grow. It's very simple and inexpensive way. But again, the typhoon is going to hit this, and I really think that's going to be go away. But. And then the other one is the basil, sweet basil. This is another very easy to grow, and there is a popular. So right now we have a different kind of lettuce, heat tolerant, and the basil. Those are the crop that we are growing. And this is, I told you about 100,000 as our goal, and then the project actually is only the lasted 5 years. That means year 2005, I have to stop. And this is how it goes. And then I was told, that, you know, let's just quit this project. But I, after investing so much, and I didn't think that was a good thing to do, so I continued until now. And then that's how finally I got the, about the 60,000 for 2012. And then eggs is production the most, the bring it, and then the lettuce is the second income to bring in. And outreach activity, I have no problem. Everybody comes, and then we have 400 plus visitors per year, including the international Koreans and Japanese. They have an internship. They come with a different university and high school students in the 4-H just to participate it. So they think that the value of this farm, and this is that the family came, and the one students want to do a local the pumpkin to be saved and grow. So I let them do it, and we have a compost, the project, and then the guy with the kind of sweated, and he's checking his blood pressure. His project is how much the he's get turned, get the skin stirred to the turn in brown, and then also these physical things that he was interested in. So I just let them do that. So in the summary, the selection of crop grown is in a profitable, sustainable model farm is based on adaptability of the crop to the farm system. And one is the climate, of course, and the size of the farm. If it's too many things you select, then you cannot get it. To diversify farm, it's not going to be sustainable. And the number of personnel working and equipment. We have very limited of the equipment, very limited of personnel. But we got volunteers to come in, and we have to know a local marketing system. And then you do need the support of the local farmers. I already have a complaint about we're competing with the farmers. Even the lettuce, they have a hydroponics company just came, and then they're all already saying we're competing for the lettuce and stuff like that. So I had to talk to them. And even basil, same thing. Calamansi, eggs, same. So I learned we cannot just say, oh, I'm a model farm, you know, university. No, we have to work with the local farm. So that's what I really learned about it. And that's all I have.
We have a couple of minutes for questions. Any questions?
Ellen? What would be the cost of labor associated with that farm in Guam?
Yeah. Oh, for this particular?
Yeah.
From the profit I have, it goes to one full-time I hired. And then the feed cost is a big one. But I kind of subsidize my hatch project or research that I'm incorporating in a special grant like aquaponics. I have a economic analysis, and I put the labor in it. Uh-huh. So that's how I'm kind of managing. And also the teaching part, and then we have islanders, we got the residence instruction, the grant. Then I have a work study, so I give them the job to incorporate it.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is, would this be a viable farm in that economic environment with 60,000 a year on 5 acres?
I would not operate this way because I have so many restrictions. I have three things, animal, fish, you know. So if I would do that, then I would do differently. But it can be viable.